So I just want to, I have some questions, and I hope that you'll be candid as you can, in sharing with these other dads what it's like. I have my perspective as a homeschool mother of what it's like to be a homeschool father. And we have one son. We homeschooled for 11 years. And, you know, one is easier, right? Usually, than two, three, four. So you all have different experiences, but every household is different. Some of you might have your own businesses with not set hours. Some of you might have set hours. Some of you might work nights. All of it's different, and you're the head of the household. And so let's talk about a few of these things. So my first question, and anybody can jump in on these, but hopefully you'll all answer them. What does it mean to you to be a homeschool dad, and how does it align with your role as the spiritual leader of your home?
That's a good question.
Anthony.
Can you repeat the question?
Repeat the question, please.
I will repeat the question. What does it mean to be a homeschool dad? Let's just look at that for a minute.
So for me, being self-employed, a lot of it was sacrifice, but it was well worth it. I was very fortunate because I feel like my wife is already a strong leader, and she had her goals and her ways of doing things, and I was able to come along and just support her in that and be very... be her sounding board, so to speak, and her talking about and praying about curriculum and all the different things that we needed to do. And when she had struggles, she came to me and we prayed about things, and I was always there to support her. I was always in favor of homeschooling. I felt like that was the Lord calling us to do this, and I saw him work that out in me and also in her to make that a reality for our son. And we were blessed by it, and we were, as a family, we did a lot of things together in that experience, and it was great. So yeah, that's about
anyone
it.
Else?
Yeah, I'll add to that. Because I think, you know, just really praying about being doing homeschool. I mean, that's a consideration as well, right? Just to understand and talk to your wife and just really see why you want to homeschool and the necessity for homeschooling. And so for me, we saw the benefit of the kids being home and us being able to, us being able to really disciple them and to care for them. I mean, us as parents, I mean, especially as fathers, we're the spiritual leaders within the home. And we take the responsibility, we should take the responsibility as a serious one, because God's given us the opportunity to raise our kids and to train them up in God's ways. And so for our family, my family, I see it as an opportunity really to disciple them, to spend time with them, you know, and to really train them in the ways of the Lord. And that's a big thing too, as far as just training them and what that looks like. Right? Because, I mean, you take training and where sometimes you train for jobs, or, you know, you go to the military and you train to go be in the military. Well, I mean, for us, it's like I look at that word train, and we have the opportunity as a homeschool dad to be part of that and to train them up in the Lord's ways and to really have them have a great foundation in the Lord for so when they grow up, they're ready to, you know, live their lives to glorify God. So,
okay, what does it mean to be a homeschool dad? Chris?
Well, for me, being a homeschool dad is being given a unique opportunity to implement something that's been taken away out of public schools, because all my life I went to public school myself. And we come to notice that, you know, in society and in schools, God has been taken out of everything. So, in order to be successful, you know, my opinion is to make sure that we can raise our children to be biblically sound and spiritually sound to have a real relationship with Jesus, and that with this opportunity is we're able to do that and implement that. You know, so I understand that and my responsibility and my spiritual role as a father, it's my responsibility to make sure that my kids understand what the Word of God is and why do we need it so badly. And so what I've seen is that when God is removed from a situation, that's when chaos and confusion and everything takes over. And so I was glad that, you know, me and my wife had decided to do homeschooling because we're able to keep our kids on a biblical compass to navigate life and learn how to apply biblical standards and expectations that God has for us.
Stephen, what does it mean to be a homeschool dad in your home?
Well, actually, I didn't want to be a homeschool dad. You know, I wanted my kids to go to school, be the salt and light in the dark world, and let me relive my glory days of me going to school, you know. And but when you see, you know, what they have to deal with, you see the libs of TikTok postings, it's like, yeah, you know, these are God's little creations that he gave to us to protect. So that's our role, to protect them.
So you didn't, so let me really quick, Aaron, before you answer this, whose idea was it to homeschool, you or your wife's?
For us, I don't know, it's something that kind of, I think both of us just talked about it, because I think we had friends at the time that did homeschooling, and then so we homeschooled for a little bit, and then we stopped, and then 2020 came around, then we homeschooled, then we prayed, and it's like, mm-hmm. That's where we felt like the Lord was just saying, yeah, this is mm-hmm. what we want, this is what I want you to do.
Aaron, was it you or Kelly? Whose idea?
It was both of us.
So both of you? What about you guys?
She wanted to go to the interest meeting. And
that darn interest meeting.
That's what I...
Honey, will you come to the interest meeting? Come on, honey. How about you?
Initially, it was my wife's. It wasn't something that I was kind of concerned about when our kid became of age. Mm-hmm. She just said, you know, what do I think about doing homeschooling? I was like, I'm not against it, so mm-hmm. why not? Plus, I knew who I'm married to. My wife, she's a very adamant teacher, you know, in her occupation before we even started having kids, like teaching was her passion. Mm-hmm. And so I knew that her idea of doing homeschool, I knew it was going to work out fine because I had the right partner for it.
Was it my idea or your idea?
Well, it's definitely not my idea. but actually, in reality, if I can share, this one here was not wanting to homeschool at the beginning, but it was, she got some information from her aunt who had homeschooled her cousins, and she had really been instrumental in encouraging Michelle to homeschool. And when we got something in the mail, and all these things started happening wrong when my son was going into school, God got a hold of her heart and said, this is what you should
be
doing.
So he sort of left it up to me.
So it was a calling basically from the Lord, totally, and yes. We both just fell in line with that calling, and just I was always supportive of whatever God was calling her to do in that respect. So.
Okay, I was just curious. Okay, Aaron,
yeah.
What does it mean to be a homeschool dad?
All right, we're back to that one.
Yep.
So what it means for us, I would say, is taking back what God initially delegated to us parents, right? Because oftentimes we try to delegate our kids' responsibilities to others, whether it's even at church. You know, you bring them to church and you tend, for many, the mindset is, well, we'll send them to Sunday school, we'll send them to the children's ministry or the youth ministry, and that's how they will get poured into spiritually. But yet, that is not the responsibility of the church or the ministry. It's to be supplemental, but the main responsibility for the upbringing of the kids is ours as parents, right? That's who God entrusted these kids to. So I would say what it means to be a homeschool dad, a homeschool parent, is to try to honor God in that endeavor by raising up kids to know him, to be biblically grounded. And Kelly and I, our goal is to model godliness in a Christ-centered home so that they could then have their own homes the same way, biblically grounded and Christ-centered. So,
and you know what I love? Not one of these men said, because I really, really want them to be good in English or math. So that's why we decided to homeschool. It was all about discipling your children. It didn't have to do with the academia part of it. So, okay. So you're at work all day, I'm assuming. And your wife is at home with the kids and she's going through it. And she's having a hard day. There's challenges, all types of challenges. There's home management, all the things, pay the bills, all the stuff that has to be done. So you come home and you can tell she's in a bad mood. How do you encourage your wife when she's had a hard time?
My wife is never in a bad mood, so I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Wow! That's amazing, Kelly.
I got you, girl. Don't worry.
Rule number one, always have your wife's back.
Well, on a serious note, she has them very far and few between, but she does have her moments, as we all do. And for me, I'm a fix-it kind of guy. I would say every guy probably has that tendency, right? To diagnose a problem, there's an issue, and right away our tendency is to jump in and fix it. Here's what needs to be done, X, Y, and Z. And I wish I could say I have gotten it right, but I haven't, but I'm working on it. And I would say sometimes it's not necessarily just to shoot from the hip, so to speak. Sometimes it's listen to what she has to say, let her vent, let her speak, and then give the input, and then pray for her and encourage her, you know, because obviously she does that to me too. There are times when I'm having a rough day, whether it's at work or just trying circumstances. And she's more understanding, more supportive than I am in that respect. But sometimes we just need encouragement. Sometimes we just need prayer. Sometimes it's just a reminder that God is in control and that God will see her through that. And I would just say in short, point them back to the scriptures, point them back to responding to the circumstance biblically. And knowing that if God has called us to this, he will enable us and equip us for it, right? And that is the facts. Those are the facts, and those are the things that we need to come back to time and time again, right? That God has called us to this, and if he has, which he has, he's going to equip us and enable us and grow us, because sometimes we forget that we're raising our kids, right? And sometimes we think that it's all about pouring into them and making sure that they're growing properly and developing properly and all that stuff. But we're God's children, and he's growing us. He's developing us through the process as well, right? So just remembering that. So.
How do you guys encourage your wives?
For me, it might be a little different because I actually work from home. My office is in the garage. So the thing is with, you know, if my wife's having a rough day or the kids are acting up, you know, and I'm able to have a break or lunch, like I'll usually go in and see where I could help, see where I could maybe take one of the kids and go help teach them at that time. And so I look at it, we look at it as a family, as kind of working as like teamwork kind of. You know, and I have the capability to do that. I mean, the opportunity to do that, I guess, from being able to work from home and my schedule being somewhat flexible, to be able to, like I said, just go in and see what's going on, seeing if I could help in any way, and just take one of the kids and maybe let her, you know, have her time where I'm able to take over for a little bit, and then just talk to her, kind of see what's going on with the kids, and maybe even talk to the kids, set them aside and just remind them, like, you know, your mom's putting a lot of hard work into this and you want you guys to pay attention. It's, you know, just talk to them.
So I think it's really important. You just brought up something really good where you're affirming your wife in front of your children.
Yes.
You're not just saying, yes, I support homeschooling, go and do it. You're showing your children that, no, this is a united front, mom and dad, or a united front.
Exactly, because both of us, you know, like you guys, I'm sure a lot of you guys do a lot of stuff as families together. I mean, our family especially, I know we just love to do everything together. And, you know, especially with this homeschooling, again, like I said, it's teamwork. It's not only my wife doing it, but at the same time, me as a spiritual leader within my home, I want to be there to support my wife and then let my kids know, like you said, affirm my wife and let them know your mom's putting work into what she's teaching you. So I don't want you just here like drawing or doodling or looking at the wall or something. You know, it's, we want you to pay attention because we want you to learn. And there's a lot of lessons that could be taught from what's going on.
And you're alleviating some of that pressure from her, exactly, even if it's just on your lunch hour.
Yeah, exactly.
Hun, what can I do?
Yes.
Good. Anyone else?
Well, you need to know what makes your wife tick, and she helped me out with that. She said, just tell me I'm pretty and take me to Disneyland. So it's easy to tell her she's pretty and I have to take her to Disneyland. So
That's fantastic.
Well, Disneyland's getting pretty expensive now, so we go to Knott's very far.
Okay, that's not Disneyland.
But her birthday is coming up, so we'll have to take care of it.
Oh, boy, you heard it right here, people. And we're being filmed, so.
Great.
You're going to have to go big this year. That's great. Chris, anything to add?
Kind of the same situation as Angus. I have the luxury of working from home most of the time as well. So I also make it a point on my breaks and on my lunch to kind of go in and try to distract the kids, you know, for a while. Usually they have like a set time when they do their work, as far as homeschool is concerned. So when they're doing that, you know, I'll go ahead and help out whenever I can, have them open up for questions instead of having it all on mom. So I try to take a lot of the responsibilities off of her to let them know that, you know, me and mom are both in this, so it's not just all about mom. So I just take that time just to make sure, like, the kids know it's not all about her. Mm-hmm. And so on my breaks and lunches, I just spend time with them. You know, we just hang out, you know, and just try to make sure they're on track. And so, yeah, that's kind of how I support her.
Husband, if you don't mind, I'm going to speak for you for a minute because I know you got to think way back, and I do pity you on that.
Right.
But we have our own business, and so he has a two-hour lunch. And so I'd say, you need to get home and teach biology. And he would. I mean, it didn't happen all the time, but sometimes there was just something that I just needed help with. Most of the time it was math.
Yes.
It was a lot of math. I just hate math.
Yeah.
And so he'd come running home at lunch, I would have his lunch ready for him, and he would do the math lesson. And even if it was just that one day, you know, we didn't have to struggle through math, but he would come home from lunch and help me out in that way.
So what it is just, if you're supporting your wife, you got to be all in. You got to go 100%. And when she would call or when she would need help or when she would just need me to listen to her because she was struggling, I was just very intentional. I didn't have a lot of time always. I had a lot of things going on with my job and my business and all that. And I would just be there for her because this was important, make this a priority. This is not just school. This is you're investing your time, your talents, and your energy into your children. And you're not allowing just some teacher to do it for you. And so that, you got to take that serious. And I took that very serious, that I'm pouring into my son. I'm investing in him. So to come alongside and help my wife, it wasn't an issue. It was like, if she needed something, I would go. That was just it. So just to encourage you dads, you're not always going to do it right. It's not always going to be perfect. You're going to fail a lot of times, but that's okay. Get up and keep going and just keep doing the best that you can in your circumstance and in your situation too.
So raise your hand if your wife worked before homeschooling. Well, I worked, kind of.
I don't know.
Well, you know, when I think about our early years, Dear God.
So what should I answer?
Well, I don't know.
Okay, when I think about our early years homeschooling, I think about all the things that we did without. And many families, most families, have two working parents. Raise your hand if you worked before you homeschooled. I know a lot of you did. I know a lot of you still work. But to go from a two-person income down to a single income, was that ever an issue in your homes? And either way, what did you go without to sacrifice for homeschooling? What have you had to go without, if anything?
I think there certainly have been sacrifices, right? Obviously, a two-income home enables you to buy more stuff, maybe travel more, things like that. But like for us, the sacrifice is worth it. And you know what? The Lord's been faithful to provide for us through the years. And he's just proven himself faithful time and again to where, I mean, it is what it is. And sometimes it's just taking a step of faith. And it could be scary for some people. It can be. But if you know the Lord has called you to it, he's going to provide. He's going to enable you to fulfill that calling. And sometimes it just takes being disciplined with what God's providing for you, right? Being a good steward of your finances. And yeah, I mean, certainly when you, there's always someone that you could compare yourself to, and you're like, wow, they have all this and all that. But for us, the trinkets and the goods and cares of this world are not the priority. Our priority is, you know, raising up good kids in the Lord and spending time together and having those times, right? Because mm-hmm. I look back at Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, where Solomon is looking at all that he had, everything that he accomplished, right? I mean, whatever he wanted, he had 700 wives, 300 concubines, great building projects. If he was in the mood for a certain genre of music, he didn't have to play a CD. He could call the band to play for him, right? And yet, in those two verses, he says, he recounts, and I'll sum it up. He basically says, I paused, I looked around me, and I saw all that I had, all that I had accomplished. And he said, it was all vanity, a grasping for the wind, right? Because the truth of the matter is that you could live your life in pursuit of things, and at the end, you could lose your kids, you could lose a positive influence and impact that your life could have, or you could just answer the call, trust the Lord. Yeah, maybe you're not going to be rich and wealthy. Maybe you will be, but maybe not. But when it's all said and done, you could say, I ran the race, and I answered the call, and I was faithful to what God called me to. And that's leaving a lasting legacy, you know, because your kids could carry that forward. And for us, that's it. But you know what? Not to say that we haven't gone hungry. We've been able to pay the bills. We live comfortably by the grace of God. So it's not like we're scrounging either. God is faithful, guys. Yep.
Anybody else?
Amen.
Yeah, I would just say, kind of like Aaron's saying, like for us, yeah, we might not have like a lot of toys, a lot of things like that, but God still blesses us with more than what we need, you know? I mean, especially here in America, I mean, we're blessed beyond what we even could imagine. And so for our family, I mean, you know, my wife has offered to get a job or whatever, but I just, for me, it's like I'd rather her just be home with the kids. She has her job's homeschooling, and because that's a lot of work. You know, we have three kids that she's homeschooling, and so there are opportunities for maybe even me to go and have another job where I can make more money. But I also see it as a priority for me to be home so I could be there to help and we could homeschool together and support her when she's home, homeschooling the kids. So kind of like Aaron's saying as well, it's what we see as a necessity more with training our kids in God's ways rather than accumulating more things that are just going to go away, you know, and just fade away. It's where we're investing into them spiritually. So because our desire is to see them grow up and serve the Lord and be glorifying to the Lord in their lives. So that is way more important than anything that we could accumulate, you know, just with having more things.
Okay. Anyone else?
Well, for the record, going back to the last question, my wife did work before we started homeschooling, just remembered. So that's on record.
And now she's back working again.
Yeah. But in the beginning, when we started our journey as a family and we had our first child, you know, my wife was working and we both were working at the time. And then we started to notice that pretty much all my wife's paycheck was going to daycare. And so that's when we made the decision. It's like, you know, I'll just be the one working and you can just stay home and we'll take care of our kids. And that's just when we had one kid at the time. So with that, I would say it was probably the most humbling and the most growing experience for us. As we don't intentionally, you know, in our walk with faith, we don't intentionally try to see as ourselves like being self-sufficient and saying, you know, we got a lot of things in place, so we're well taken care of, and then kind of put the thought that it's because of God that makes everything happen in the back of our minds. But going back and seeing back where we came from in that aspect, we were living a life of faith. All the things that we afforded at the time with the house and the car and things like that, we shouldn't be able to afford it at that time. But somehow God made it work. And so with that, the way that we lived and how we're living now, you know, we're still living on faith and we're still relying on God. But we just see the growth that we had in the past, just seeing God at work. You know, we saw God's hand in everything. And so, I can say that we never went without what we needed. All our needs were always met. And everything, as far as all the wants, you know, we were able to get a few wants here and there. But God took place in that to make sure that we got all our needs. And so, you know, I just know that there's nothing but God in that aspect that we're able to be taken care of without having to worry.
Very good. Okay. We're going to switch gears. What role do you play in choosing curriculum, setting priorities, or planning for the homeschool year?
I think for us, you know, my wife looks a lot at the different curriculums, and then we'll both talk together regarding the curriculum, you know, once she's found something that works for her and the kids. And as far as, I'll just kind of really budget and try to figure out a way to have that financial support, you know. And so it's really, I mean, it's Christian-based, right? I mean, being here at RCA, it has to be Christian-based anyways. So, but like for us, that's a priority too, honestly, just to make sure that what they're learning involves, you know, the Word of God. And because that's the most important thing. I mean, life lessons and looking at scripture and see how you could apply scripture to their life lessons, that's what they're going to use in their everyday life as well. You know, everything else will come eventually as well to as far as educational things. But I mean, that's a priority, you know, to teach them. But for us, it's really looking at the curriculum, seeing if it's going to work best for us, and then just providing that financial support for what's needed for the family.
Okay, anyone else?
Yeah. So for us, I'm a hands-off approach when it comes to curriculum. Kelly does a great job. She does the research. She looks it up and she chooses it. And kids know how to do math, read, and speak, so she's doing a good job. So yeah, my involvement when it comes to curriculum is, like Angus said, making sure the money's there to be able to buy it. But I trust
set the budget, but you trust your wife.
I trust my wife.
Right.
You know, she does a great job, so I can't take any credit for that, and I trust her. You know, that's part of it. It's a team dynamic, team effort, and there are certain things where I have zero involvement, but I know things are getting taken care of because I see the results, and she's doing wonderfully. So, yep.
But for me, like, my wife, she does all the heavy lifting in that. But the only thing that I provide my support in is just reassuring her that the decisions that she's making for her curriculum is concerned will be a good one. Could we discuss what would be the best tools for our kids? Because our kids, they learn differently. So we know that the past curriculums that we used before, how they worked or didn't work with our kids. And if we need to switch gears and, like, go into a different direction with the curriculum, you know, she'll explain it to me. We'll go on board with it and set the budget for it and make it happen. But, you know, for the most part, she always did a great job with maintaining, getting what we need as far as the curriculum that's going to maximize our children's potential.
Very good. Stephen?
Yeah, I'll just follow these guys. When you say there's a good math program, I'm like, yeah, we're good. We're using the math program that Michelle, you know, says, teaching textbooks, another plug.
Teaching textbooks.
Well, Jamie will say that, you know, all the ladies are raving about a certain curriculum, and I hear it at a birthday party, and I'm hearing the same thing about a curriculum, and, you know, so I'm hands off it as well. So, yeah.
Hands off approach. Yeah. That's fine.
I trust her.
You trust her?
I trust her.
What did you used to do?
I have no comment.
That's because he doesn't remember.
I always just trusted you and just made sure that we had the funds available to buy whatever we needed. So that was more of my thing. So.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You got that one right.
What did we do, Michelle?
Okay, let's see. How do you address differing opinions? You have an opinion, your wife has an opinion, maybe an approach on a different subject, or a direction that you want your children to be taught, you know, college bound, not college bound. There's a difference in how many classes need to be taken. You know, have you ever had a difference of opinion when it comes to their education? Maybe not how she's doing, but the direction.
No.
Not for us either, really.
I think it's individual and unique for each child. I think God has given each of our children gifts and talents. I went to college, did the traditional whole 4-year, then 6-year college and all that. And I knew my son, and I knew he wasn't that kind of guy. He wasn't that. What I realized about college is I learned information to pass tests. I never learned how to think. I never learned, obviously, about God's economy in education. So when my son was homeschooled, I was more excited for him to get a different education, more based on how to think critically, how to think biblically, all these kinds of things to get through and learn in that. So for me and our son, we knew he was not that guy, that college-bound student. So our approach was, let's teach him more biblically. Let's pour into him and help him to learn how to think independently on his own versus being told what to think as far as school goes and passing tests. That was my experience.
Anyone else?
We play a mean game of rock, paper, scissors, if we can't make a decision.
So, there you go.
She has a good idea, and I, you know, she's a pretty wise woman. And if, you know, she doesn't like my idea, she'll say, well, if you want to give it a try, and I see that it's not that great of an idea, I'm like, all right, that's good.
Okay. Anyone else? Major differences? No? Well, that's good. Okay, what advice would you give to a dad who is hesitant about homeschooling?
So what I would ask is, what's the hesitation? You know, and where is that hesitation rooted? Is it finances? You know, maybe having a hard time thinking that God will provide or God will take care of it. Obviously, there is a certain element of being a good steward and planning things out, but oftentimes it's just taking a step of faith, right? And if you feel that God, after you've prayed, after you sought the scriptures, you feel that this is what God's calling you to, then you just need to step out in faith, right? Because if it is his call, he will meet you there and he will take care of it. Now, if it's a feeling of inadequacy, like, I don't know if we got the skill set to do this, you got the skill set. You know, there are plenty of resources out there to help you succeed when it comes to the education of your kids. And no one will ever care for your kids more than you do. You know, to you, they are your kids. You want to see them succeed. You want to see them prosper. You want to see them walk with the Lord if you're a Christian. And so no one else could ever have that type of heart that God has given a parent. And so I would say, take a step of faith. You know, trust the Lord, and he will provide. He will take care of it. But I would say, coming back to the question, it depends what the hesitation is. Yeah.
For me, the advice I would give them is to think forward and pray about what their child's life will be like if they're taught under worldly principles. And if they're really concerned about their spiritual walk with the Lord, then I feel that, you know, for them to have that opportunity, they will have a better chance to do it with homeschool, so they can incorporate both biblical principles at the same time, develop good educational development for their child.
Yeah, I would say this is kind of the same thing, because it really depends on the hesitation. But, I mean, as Christians, I mean, we're, God has blessed, I mean, really looking in at the perspective of homeschooling and what you are able to do with your children. Because understanding that God's blessed you with this opportunity to homeschool your kids, to really pour into them, not only educational, but more importantly, spiritually, and not have them influenced by, you know, the world and its ways, because with everything that the public schools are teaching, I mean, they're looking to teach them really inappropriate things at such a young level. And so to guard your child's minds, to guard their hearts, to guard, just to keep them, you know, innocent, I mean, at such a young age, and then being able to pour into them and lead them and guide them in the Lord's ways, It's such a blessing to be able to have this opportunity to homeschool your kids, because, again, God's blessed us and given us the responsibility to raise them up. But again, they're really his kids. They're his, and they belong to him. And we have the responsibility and the privilege to train them up in the Lord's ways and to lead them and guide them in that way.
So from an educational standpoint, one of the things that I would encourage a father is just, you have so much flexibility in your family when you can homeschool. You guys can go on vacation and literally make that a homeschool experience. There was many times where we went to Boston to visit her sister, and we made a homeschool experience out at visiting historical sites and just pouring into that time with our son, investing in his schooling by doing that. So there's so much joy and wonder of travel. Like, we did missions trips, and we literally traveled and taught our son in not just in a homeschool, not just in a classroom setting, but you can explore the world and see things and do things with your child, make memories. From that standpoint, too, is also you're pouring into your child from that. So those are other things that do encourage fathers that aren't maybe pro-homeschool, those are also things that can be a huge blessing in your family, too.
Any other advice? How about joining a really good support group? Would you advise that?
To what?
Joining a really good support group.
Yes, like Revival.
Like Revival Homeschool.
Homeschool program. Absolutely.
Well, thank you all for coming, and thank you all for being here. That was it. Was that easy enough? Yes. Give them a round of applause, please.